Greet you this morning. In the worthy name of Jesus, it's a blessing to be here today again. I invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 1. Text verse for the message. First Peter 2, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." I titled the message this morning just simply gossip. As I pondered and studied for this message, I felt like I wasn't worthy of sharing this, because when I look at my own life, I see so many failures in this. We notice the word there, the words, the last phrase, "and all evil speakings." But what is gossip? In the dictionary, it's explained or interpreted as idle talk or rumor, especially about personal or private affairs of others. A gossip would be one who runs from house to house, tattling and telling news, an idle tattler. And there's a verse in Timothy where it talks about being busybodies, going from house to house. We notice the first word in our text verse, it says, "wherefore." And whenever it says "wherefore" or "therefore," it's referring to something that was mentioned previously. If we look at verses 15 and 16 of the previous chapter, we see the call to holiness, and that is why he is asking us to lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. Because we have been called unto holiness, as he who has called us, as God, as the Lord Jesus Christ, has called us to be holy in all manner of conversation. That includes our walk of life, as well as the words that we say. As we use the word conversation today, we're talking about having a conversation, about talking with each other, but this is actually possibly primarily referring to our walk of life, living our lives. So that, of course, would entail the words that we speak as well. And he is calling us to be holy because he is holy. And if we look at the several verses following, verses 18 and 19, it says that you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So here it is saying that we should do this because of the price of our redemption. Brother Irvin was talking about blood and the price of our redemption, that, you know, it wasn't possible that we could be redeemed with the blood of animals or the blood of another human being, but it took the blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. It talks here about our vain conversation. That would be our sinful life, our sinful walk of life that we were redeemed from. So the wherefore is also referring to that as far as the price of our redemption. That is why we should lay aside all these things. In verse 22, it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Another wherefore: you have purified your souls, you have been redeemed, you have been justified, and you are now walking with Christ as a Christian. Love your brethren, sisters, with sincerity. Not feigned love, but unfeigned love. Love that is genuine, with a pure heart. You know, when we think about gossiping is not loving the other person, as it is telling us to do here. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. So when I or when we gossip about another person and we spread idle tales, rumors and et cetera, evil speakings about the other person, it's not helping the person. You know, even if some of the things that we may say may be true, does it help the person by us talking to others about the problem, even if there is a problem? You know, obviously not. It doesn't help the situation. It's not doing what is best for the other person. So therefore, that is another wherefore. You know, when we really love the other person with a pure heart fervently, it will move us to come alongside the other person and to give encouragement and to strengthen, to help the person to see that there is a problem, that there is a need that needs to be addressed. And then the last two verses for the last wherefore. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So here it is telling us that our time here is short. We have no continuing city here. You know, our flesh, our bodies are just like grass, if you will. Here today, gone tomorrow, it withers. It passes away. It's laid out, it's buried out in the grave, and the time here as we know it is over. So time is too short to waste it gossiping, to waste it in evil speaking about other people. And it tells us there that the word of the Lord endureth forever, and we will be judged by the word of the Lord. So time is too short. We think about gossiping, and we think about, you know, when we talk about others. Well, what about when others talk about us? Is that something that we appreciate? That we hear through the grapevine, we hear things coming around, and, you know, that he or she did so and so. Be it true or be it untrue. Do we like that? Well, obviously not. I don't think there's a person in here that enjoys hearing things come around that you've done or said. So how can we avoid gossip? What is a way to avoid gossip? And maybe, first of all, let's focus on how can we avoid gossip about ourselves? How can we keep that from happening? And I believe that is not, you know, the primary. The primary thing, of course, is that I don't gossip about you. But how can I keep you from gossiping about me? I believe the answer is in our text verse here, where he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." You know, if every Christian would live that verse, I think there would be a whole lot of gossip out there. Because that is a picture of complete, you know, we look at malice, that means maliciousness or, you know, being angry at somebody and trying to get even with somebody, having anger and bitterness in our heart toward another person. It's telling us to lay that aside. And all guile, that would be, you know, craftiness, trying to be deceitful, to make others believe things that are not true. And then hypocrisies would be also to be a hypocrite, to make people believe that we're something we're not. Lay that all aside, all envies, being jealous and envious of other people, to be content with what we have. And then, of course, all evil speakings. To not be speaking evil about others. So this would be a transparent life. You know, where I have a problem and I tell you that I have a problem. And, you know, when I'm open and I'm transparent about my problems, about my shortcomings, my failures, and my faults, it kind of squelches the gossip, doesn't it? You know, if we see that the other person is open and is transparent and admits that there is a problem and is willing to talk about it and is wanting help, gossip kind of goes away. You know, and of course, when we share those things, we should do that in a right way with godly friends, friends who will come alongside us, friends who will pray with us, friends who will encourage us and help us to overcome the faults and the things that we have, the problems, the struggles that we have that we share with them. You know, the almost sure way to get this rumor mill started is when we don't live this verse, when we live with malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speakings, when we live a life like that and we try to make people believe that we're something that we're not, then of course people will see through that. You know, you can deceive some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time. You know, people will see through that. They will see through that cover. They will see through the smile that is pasted on the face. You know, when we just keep going on as if nothing was amiss, and even though there are things that are amiss, for sure way to get the rumor mill started. When we hear rumors about ourselves, how far do we need to go in trying to squelch the rumors? And say, you know, this is not true. Not very far, I don't think. I don't think that's necessary. You know, when we live a life of transparency, as this verse talks about here, we're open about the struggles, the rumors will, like I said earlier, fizzle out. But you know, the chances are that if we hear rumors and we are actively involved in going to all ends to squelch the rumor and to make sure that, you know, that thing gets stopped, chances are there may have been some truth to it. Or there may be truth to it in other areas of other things where we are living in guile and hypocrisy that we don't want people to find out. And therefore, we're so determined to squelch this. So what is it that causes gossip in the first place? You know, what brings about the person that runs from house to house, that spreads rumors and false things about others? I think it has to do with malice. You know, wanting to get even, wanting to get back at the person. Maybe a critical spirit, a spirit that looks at the other person and possibly, probably doesn't feel good about itself. So, therefore, nobody else can be good enough either. So, in order to try to exalt itself, it will spread rumors and things about the other person. Any little thing that it sees and maybe even surmises about the other person, it will spread that to try to lift itself up. Another form of gossip would possibly be like the church at Athens, where it says that that all the people there at Athens and even the strangers, they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. How many of you children have, you know, come home from school and you have raced to the house to be the first one to tell mom some new thing that you heard that day? You know, you for sure wanted to be the first to tell mom about that. And, you know, maybe even to the point of when it's something about one of your siblings, you want it to be the first to tell mom. And maybe you could run faster than that sibling and you beat that person to your mom and you kind of spoil the thing for your sibling. You know, and oftentimes in real life and as a church maybe, that desire to be the first to hear, to tell or to hear some new thing, a lot of times might bring it to the point where there may be some miscommunication, misconstruing of facts, because we're so anxious to be the first to tell the news that we don't have our facts straight and we start a rumor, you know, maybe unintentionally. And we're so desirous, you know, to hear something, and we latch onto that so that we can tell it, and we misconstrue facts and misinformation is handed out. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verses 29 to 32, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." I had to think of the saying about, you know, when you think about something that you're going to say, before you do it, you know, make sure that it meets these three requirements. Is it necessary? Is it kind? And is it true? So when you look at that, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that which is good to the use of edifying. You know, when we think about things that we're going to say, is it good to the use of edifying? Does it edify? Does it build up the other person that we're talking to or that we're talking about? Does it build that person up? Does it help the person in some way? Does it minister grace to the person? Does it encourage the person in his spiritual life? It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." I don't know how God looks at all that, but does it maybe grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we let untruths and misinformation come out of our mouth about another brother or sister in the church? When we spread false information, we spread lies about the other person? He says, "And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." And that last verse, you know, that definitely would not be the heart of a gossip, one who is running from house to house, to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving. You know, that is completely the opposite of malice and of a critical spirit. But to be kind and tenderhearted, to love the other person, to really care, have a spirit of compassion and love for the other person. You know, when I look at my own life, I see where I fail so often in that, of not having the Spirit of God directing me. You know, as we think about evil speaking and gossip, you know, chances are that the evil speaking began with an evil surmising. You know, it's things that we thought about in our mind. You know, maybe the person did something that we didn't like that kind of rubbed us the wrong way. And we began thinking and noticing other areas of the person's life. And, you know, one thing leads to another. And soon, you know, we began to surmise things. We began to notice things and we began to think, you know, the motive behind what that person is doing, we began to think that it is an evil motive, it is an ill motive. And as we think about that, as we surmise and we put things together, soon we began to believe that. And then maybe the next thing you know, we know we're saying it. You know, have you noticed so-and-so that he or she does this or does that? You know, I think there's something wrong in that person's life. And evil surmising. In our devotions this morning, Brother Ralph talked about Psalms 15, about speaking the truth in your heart. And it talked about in the next verse about backbiters. I think I'll turn to that in Psalms 15. It asks the question in verse 1, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." You know, that is completely the opposite of evil surmising. That is speaking the truth. So what does, you know, when truth notices something about another person or gets rubbed the wrong way about another person, truth will always believe the best about the other person. Will always believe what it knows is true, and it will not surmise evil without knowing the truth. Of course, when truth knows that there is evil and it knows the motive, then of course God will always judge sin for what it is. God will never allow sin to be unpunished, you know, except of course sin that is repented of and is brought under the blood of Jesus Christ. Speaketh the truth in his heart, says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. So you want to abide in the tabernacle of God? You want to dwell in his holy hill? You want to come to the presence of God? Then this is saying that in order to do that, we have to repent of gossip. We have to repent of evil speaking in order to be justified before God. We have to allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our own sin before we can come to the holy hill of God and his tabernacle and to his presence. In Harold Bell Wright's book, A Higher Call, he referred to, in the situation there in the church where this, and of course this is a book of fiction, but it brings out a good point to some degree. This new preacher in this setting had come in, and there was, you know, a long established routine of a way of doing things. There was sin involved in some of the deacons and the latest club, you know, things that were being kept undercover. And when some of these things began to, or when the preacher began to speak truth and to preach truth in the church, there were always these rumors and this gossip that was going around, and it was seeking to undermine the truth and the things that the preacher, the revival and the change that the preacher was trying to bring through the Spirit and through the work of the Lord in that church. And Harold Bell Wright always referred to that as the alley. The alley, A-L-L-Y. The alley was always busy in gossiping and bringing, spreading rumors and things, even trying to break down the, you know, the character of this new preacher. And I had to think of that, you know, when there's a situation where there are things that are in question, when there have been people that maybe are hiding things in their lives, and the Spirit of the Lord is working to bring about revival, to bring about repentance, the alley is always busy to squelch that, to try to stop that. You know, at any time that you have a group of people who love the Lord and who want to serve the Lord, the alley is always busy. You know, and I think of, you know, the alley as you know, and in this case as the demonic spirits working through people to break down something good. You know, the attack of Satan against the church of God, against the work of the Lord. You know, I had to think about what Ralph shared this morning about the 400 prophets, the 400 false prophets. And when the host of heaven was there before the Lord, you know, this lying spirit was the one who said, well, I will be the one. I'll go out and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets. So it was like, you know, the alley was at work. And of course, this was all part of God's plan that God allowed, because God had a plan in all this. You know, it is interesting that when sin becomes known in a person, that it is often the very person that is hiding a similar sin that is often that person that is the one who is the most outspoken about church discipline and, you know, punishment for sin that is known, that becomes known. You know, to me, that is the alley that is working. And of course, it could also be the guilty conscience that is convicting that other person. As I was researching this, so far as gossip, I read on the internet, on Wikipedia, and I find it interesting here what was shared concerning Islam and gossip. It brought out a couple different ones, and I want to read what they said about Islam and about Christianity when it comes to gossip. It says here, Islam considers backbiting the equivalent of eating the flesh of one's dead brother. According to Muslims, backbiting harms its victims without offering them any chance of defense, just as dead people cannot defend against their flesh being eaten. Muslims are expected to treat each other like brothers, deriving from Islam's concept of brotherhood amongst its believers. I found that interesting. And then in Christianity, it says, according to Matthew 18, Jesus also taught that conflict resolution among church members ought to begin with the aggrieved party attempting to resolve their dispute with the offending party alone. Only if this did not work would the process escalate to the next step, in which another church member would become involved. After that, if the person at fault still would not hear, the matter was to be fully investigated by the church elders, and if not resolved, to be then exposed publicly. In order to gossip, writes Phil Fox Rose, we must harden our heart towards the out person. In other words, we have to begin with that evil surmising. We draw a line between ourselves and them, define them as being outside the rules of Christian charity. We create a gap between ourselves and God's love. As we harden our heart towards more people and groups, he continues, this negativity and feeling of separateness will grow and permeate our world, and we'll find it more difficult to access God's love in any aspect of our lives. But it should be recognized that the Bible is both in favor of group accountability, and it gives a list of references, as well as against gossip and another list of references. I found that interesting, as that Matthew 18 was mentioned in that article there. And, you know, in the years I've been in the ministry, numerous times I have heard people use Matthew 18 as an excuse to justify their actions, to justify to not accept why a brother came, or to not accept the reproof that came to them from a brother, or maybe through the church or whatever. They use Matthew 18 as an excuse for not accepting that because they said, well, he didn't practice Matthew 18, or the church did not use Matthew 18. But you know, in those years, I don't recall of ever hearing anyone say that I am guilty of gossiping. I have not practiced Matthew 18. And if we turn to Matthew 18, it is so simply and clearly explained, but yet it is so hard to do. He says in verse 15, Matthew 18, 15 through 17, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Clear and simple. If he hears you, if he accepts it, he repents, well done. Glory to God. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So if he doesn't hear you, then take a couple of other brethren with you and go again. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. You know, it is very clearly and simply spelled out. You know, but it's so much easier to talk to anybody else except the one with a fault. You know, there's something within us that shrinks from going to another person and telling him, you know, brother, you have got a problem. You know, we think about that as we see a person with a fault. Is it okay to talk to others about it? In the church, outside the church, in my family? Is that okay? You know, isn't that where gossip often starts? Well, we begin to justify ourselves and we begin to think, you know, it's okay to talk to these people about it. They're close to me. They're my family. They're my church or whatever. You know, what about the thing of asking for advice before I go and talk to my brother? Well, I believe that that can be okay. You know, if the Spirit, maybe you're unsure about how to approach, or, you know, should you or shouldn't you, to find a godly brother that you can go to and just share your heart and ask for direction, ask for counsel. But be careful lest you use the asking advice as a handle to gossip. I'd like to look at Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Two words here I'd like to notice, especially the last verse, word in verse 29, whisperers. You know, where you see something and you whisper behind the person's back to another person. Secretly making false and malicious statements against another. That is the meaning of the Greek word that is used there. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A whisperer separateth chief friends." The next word is backbiters, the first word in verse 30, backbiters. What do you think about when you think of a backbiter? You know, you hear about stabbing somebody in the back or shooting somebody in the back, but here it's talking about biting somebody's back. You know, he turns his back and you bite him in the back. Well, not literally, but in a sense that, you know, verbally, yes. A slanderer is the Greek, another word for the Greek word used there. Galatians 5:15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." And I think that is talking about not a literal eating each other up, but it's talking about being consumed spiritually to where we lose out with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there is not room for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and maliciousness and evil speaking and, you know, all those things that mention our text verse. There is not room for that in your heart, and to expect the Holy Spirit to live there as well. And here it is saying in verse 32 that, knowing the judgment of God, knowing that God hates sin, that God hates evil speaking, that God hates gossip, that we know that, and that they which commit such things are worthy of death. You know, the penalty of the sin of evil speaking and gossip is just as great as the penalty for any of the sins that are mentioned in those three verses there. You know, those horrible, gross sins as we look at them. But, you know, to God, I don't think there's a difference between sin. Sin is sin, no matter how horrible, terrible we look at sin. You know, one sin is as bad as another. And one sin needs the blood of Jesus for its cleansing just as much as another. And so here it is saying, verse 32, that, you know, we know that the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do we do them, but we have pleasure in others who do them. So it's like, you know, a couple of gossipers get together, and we take pleasure in sharing and swapping stories about these other people that are rubbing us the wrong way. Psalms 12:2 says, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Well, then when we meet up with that person that we have the problem with, we paste a smile on our face and everything is okay. Now, isn't that a double heart? Absolutely. Psalms 141:3 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know, and when I do, and I know I have failed, we need repentance. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says, there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. You know, there are things, times that we need to speak the truth in love, and there are times that we need to be silent. We need to pray about things that we notice about the other person instead of blowing our top and creating strife, but to minister grace unto the hearers. I believe that is what God wants for his church. And we can do that as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, as we allow the Holy Spirit to direct us, as we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, as we abide in Christ, and as we walk with him and walk in his Spirit. Let's kneel for prayer.